right now, coming to sit down in front of that microphone is Christina. So it is time for you, Christina, to talk about the trust that you are CEO and founder of.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on. CEO is a bit of a grandiose title, mainly just coordinating it. I need to change that title, I think. It's probably good for funding, really. Mother's Help is, I set up a couple of years ago. I experienced postnatal depression with my son, and it was a really hard time for me. I mean, my background is I'm a registered nurse, and my background is that I have done lots of education, lots of community nursing, etc. So when I experienced postnatal depression, I noticed a lot of gaps. I mean, there just wasn't support out there. And I guess one of the things that actually saved me was actually helping other people. So I started the charity, and it really evolved. At this moment in time, we're launching a service on Waiheke Island. Basically, at the moment, we know that 15% of mothers experience postnatal depression. However, I think that's really probably, there's probably a lot of mothers out there who don't get the help that they need. They're not diagnosed. They've got nothing to compare it, their experience to, so they think that it is normal. So I would imagine that the statistics are higher. I think that we know also, and it's not researched well, that fathers experience, 10% of fathers experience it as well. And yeah, I know, it's quite a surprise because they're pretty much neglected in the whole process. Partner depression is very common in fathers who have a partner with postnatal depression. So it's a real issue. At the moment, there's no one working to prevent postnatal depression, even though we know what the risk factors are. No one is doing work in that area. At the moment, in order to meet the criteria for maternal mental health, you have to have severe postnatal depression. So the mild to moderate postnatal depression, the expectation is that it's managed by GPs, but there's no one who's got the expectation that they pick up postnatal depression or antenatal depression in a mother. So midwives, there's no expectation that they necessarily do it. So it's hit and miss. If you have a good midwife, she will assess you for it, and she will send you to, you know, suggest you go to your GP. If you have a good Plunket nurse, same thing happens, but it is hit and miss. There's no expectation. There's no one with that particular role. And then when they see their GP again, it's hit and miss as to whether they get a good GP. These days, at best, mothers are put on medication. Sometimes they are suggested that they go to counselling. But we know that the best way to treat mental illness is a holistic way of treating it. So it may be that a mother goes on to medication, but she actually doesn't become well in the end, because we know that medication alone will not work. And there's a whole heap of consequences of what can happen for a mother who goes, you know, who is not picked up, for a mother who is not treated properly. It has a huge effect on her. It has a huge effect on her family.
Yeah, it's no secret to people that I actually work in mental health, and that I have suffered from depression and anxiety for most of my life, so I'm pretty au fait with that male side of it. The research that I see says somewhere between 10% and 15%, and that's a very low estimate, they say. Mm. So it could be really high.
Yeah.
Or what are the kind of things that somebody may experience?
When they have depression?
When they have postnatal depression.
Well, postnatal depression, first of all, there's a difference between the baby blues and postnatal depression. I mean, my midwife said to me, if you're crying, because I was crying every day. I started crying on day three, and by day seven, I was still crying my eyes out every day. And she said to me, if you're still crying by day seven, we're going to send you off to the doctor. By day seven, I made myself stop crying because I didn't want my mind. I mean, even when you've had a baby, you're sleep deprived, you're overwhelmed, there's so much going on. So even without postnatal depression and your hormones going crazy, which is what causes the baby blues, even without that, your mind's not really particularly rational. In my case, it wasn't. I think some mothers are probably were more rational than me. But having postnatal depression, I reasoned in my mind, and I have no idea why, that if I made myself stop crying, then I wouldn't have postnatal depression. And I did that. So I actually didn't get help until 9 months later. So I had untreated postnatal depression for 9 months. And my experience is different to other mothers. Some mothers do not have tearfulness. It's very common to have very, very poor energy. And that was what made me go to the doctor in the end, because I literally found it hard getting off the couch. I was just so tired. And my baby was sleeping by that stage, and I was sleeping okay. But I was exhausted, and I've had glandular fever with a little toddler before, and seriously, it's nothing on what I had with depression. It was just, I was exhausted. I just basically put all my energy into caring for my little boy. I had no energy left for me. So being motivated to clean the house or being motivated to have a shower or any of that was really hard. I felt... I had a lot of negative thoughts. Probably my self-esteem was pretty poor. A lot of people with postnatal depression have trouble sleeping. They have a lot of anxiety. I felt totally overwhelmed with my role as a mother. And I used to beg my husband to come home and help, because I just... having the whole day with a newborn baby. And I mean, I have to say that I've been a pediatric nurse, I've been a nanny for years and years and years, so it's really weird for me to feel like that, and it wasn't natural for me to feel overwhelmed. I'd looked after babies all day before, so it was the depression causing that anxiety.
Yeah, it must be quite a shock to have the expertise that you'd built up all over the years, but all of a sudden it doesn't work for you. And I mean, I've experienced that too, that I know stuff, but it doesn't necessarily work. And the other thing that's always really concerned me is it's supposed to be such a joyous time. You've got this new baby and everyone's going, isn't it lovely? No. Isn't it wonderful? And yet you're feeling absolutely ghastly.
It's so disappointing.
A dichotomy of the whole thing.
And I mean, to be fair, when you're sleep deprived, you just can't really enjoy. It's really hard to enjoy your baby when you're sleep deprived, and all mothers are. It's a total shock becoming a mother. For some than others. You know, we all experience motherhood differently, but most of us will agree the sleep deprivation is awful. And the first time you become a mother is a shock.
And then, of course, your husband's at work.
Yeah.
And you're ringing him up and wanting him to come home.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand what's going on for you, probably.
Yeah.
And he's trying to do what he's doing, because that's what he knows he has to do.
Yeah.
I've got to provide for a wife and a baby.
Yeah.
Now we've got one income.
Mm.
It must be hell to have all that pushing and pulling going on for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And it's hard for it is a challenge for the family anyway. Having a child it's a strain on the relationship. It's hard for everybody. But throwing postnatal depression into the mix, It's really tough. And a lot of marriages, and mine did, a lot of marriages broke down. And that was not the only reason for the breakdown, but it certainly contributed. One of the things, another symptom I had was irritability. So it's really, really common for mums with postnatal depression to feel angry, to feel really, really angry. And it puts a strain on every relationship that they have. So it's actually hard for people to get close to them, to help them, because they're kind of prickly and hard to deal with. Now, I'm not saying everyone, again, not everyone's like that, but for some mums, that's their experience.
Yeah, it's like someone asking me, you know, what's depression? Well, it's so different for so many people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's still, probably doesn't exist now, but when I was young, it's like mothers, just what they did. And it must become as an awful surprise that maybe it doesn't feel like that.
I think a lot of mums feel guilty because their own mother, I mean, my mother had four children. I've got one. Yeah, and I sort of see her looking at me like, what's the problem? and it's really, I don't know. I find that one hard to, because a lot of mums have that experience. Their own mother seem to cope really well, et cetera, and we all feel guilty about that. We all think, oh, we're so, you know, and that's part of the depression as well, thinking of ourselves as a useless mother and beating ourselves up for not doing it better or not enjoying it more or whatever the case may be.
And all of that's making it worse. It's not helping
it
in the slightest.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. And so it's actually, I think, really, times have changed. You know, we're lucky to be in Waiheke that we do have a close-knit community to a degree. But, you know, when you've got depression, you withdraw. And like I said, it strains your relationships, etc. So if you are irritable and angry and all of that, and you're withdrawn. And I think, you know, times are different. You know, our parents would let us go out and play from, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night and not really exactly know where we were. And we don't parent like that anymore.
Oh, when I was a child on Waiheke, my nephew, who's only a year younger than me, we used to leave home at breakfast time. And we'd wander all around Waiheke all day.
Yeah.
We'd go and see Auntie this and Auntie that, and we knew the best place to get scones and things. That you wouldn't do that now.
No. No, it's very different. So the expectations on parents, I think, are very different. Yeah.
Yeah, the parent is really somebody who has to get everything organised all day.
Mm.
Whereas we organised ourselves because it was a safe time.
Yeah.
They
came back for dinner.
Oh, we didn't even come back for lunch. We would. Auntie Minnie made the best. My Auntie Minnie, bless her. Still going in her 90s, she made the best scones. She made those lemonade scones that are famous on the island.
Oh, yeah, they're brilliant.
And also mussel fritters. And we knew where to go. We had another uncle that we knew. He had the most beautiful King Edward sardine sandwiches for lunch. So we knew where to go.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, it's really good memories too for us as children. But, yeah, it's just a different day and age now, different generation.
So I had a look at the website. The website is mothershelpers.co.nz. Yeah, right. And that's a really good site.
Mm.
I liked the myths about going to the doctor.
Right.
I think, and taking medication.
Yeah.
Because these days, a combination of medication and therapy, and doctors seem to offer that now, in my experience.
Right.
That, mind you, you can get a certain number of therapy sessions now through the GP.
Mm.
He will give it. Because you're right, what you said, and I'm talking from a mental health perspective,
yes.
The mild to moderate depression, I remember I being told, oh, you're just the worried well. You know, I felt like hitting them. It didn't feel like I was the worried well.
I was told I was an over-anxious mother.
Well, all mothers would be anxious.
Yeah,
you hold a little baby any time. We've had a little baby in the family and I felt anxious when I was holding it. You don't want to drop the baby or do anything wrong. I mean, what would you expect?
What I felt with that statement was that is to go back and say to them, if you find me over anxious, perhaps there's a problem here that you need to respond to.
Yep.
If you have an over anxious mother, let's test for depression, which I have to say I was never tested for depression.
Really?
And then, no. I actually had a terrible – I took my midwife – I had two midwives because the day that I left hospital, I requested a new one. I took my midwife to the Health and Disability Commissioner. She got a slap on the wrist. I knew that I – in the back of my irrational mind, I knew that I was at risk for postnatal depression. I had all the risk factors. My marriage broke up at some stage during pregnancy. So I was a single mum at that stage. I had relationship difficulties. I was made redundant. When I got back from my honeymoon, I was made redundant, and then I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, and you were fine.
And so I literally, you know, had all these other things going on as well, which I won't go into, but, you know, I had a lot of risk factors. I'd experienced depression. I had a genetic influence. I basically told my midwife, I'm worried that I'll get postnatal depression. By my third trimester, I was asking her to refer me to maternal mental health. She promised me she would. She never actually referred me. So I actually, and on the day, she was terrible during my birth. And then on the day that, when I got shifted off to Waitakere Hospital, she decided that she was no longer going to do my postnatal care. So she ditched me. So she was pretty terrible. I mean, there's a bigger story to that, but what I'm saying is that, and the midwife that I ended up getting, she was okay, but she gave me an Edinburgh score, which is a, Edinburgh test, which is what they use to test for postnatal depression. She gave it to me, but she never picked it up and looked at it. So I filled it out and nobody looked at that.
They gave it to you to fill out,
yeah,
and they didn't look at it.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah. So this comes back to there's no system in place where that midwife has to give me a test and has to pick it back up off me.
If they had have just asked you what was going on for you in the beginning when you mentioned redundancy and things like that and being pregnant, so all of those things start sparking off for me as I haven't dealt with people with postnatal, that would spark things off for me.
Yeah.
Look out for this person. What's going on? Because they've got pressure. Because, and you would have, you know, not only do you made redundant, but you're down to one income.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Exactly.
And you're not going to get another job easily because you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And I mean, gosh, those things are really, I would hope today that they're a bit better with it.
Well, actually, this is the thing. Like I said, with pregnancy, there is no prevention. So even though we know the risk factors, there is no one actually, it is possible to prevent illness from occurring. And it is possible to get help very quickly so that that mother recovers very quickly. The consequences of her depression don't have to go that far. but I think, you know, mothers, basically what we're doing, Mothers Helpers is doing, is filling that gap. Where there is a gap, we're putting up our hand and saying, hey, we're gonna do something here. So basically, just to explain what we offer, we have a criteria of anyone who is pregnant or anyone with a child under the age of two who has got any risk factor or diagnosed postnatal or antenatal depression or anxiety. They will meet our criteria and we will work with them. And what we're offering here on Waiheke Island is a initial assessment for an hour with a registered nurse. We'll assess their depression. We will talk about their story. We'll listen to what's going on for them. We'll make referrals to a range of services that can, what we call a wraparound service. Because it's very hard to ask for help. And then once you have asked for help, you don't want to keep asking for help. It's a very hard thing to do when you have an expectation on yourself as a mother to have it all together. So you beat yourself up for asking for help. So we just want her to do it once. And from there, we will actually put in a peer support worker who is voluntary, who will come in once a month and actually just support her and coach her, work on some goals, work on some priorities of some things that we know will help her to recover.
And the research shows that peer support has an enormous benefit.
Yeah.
It's in dealing with mental health now, there's a lot of peer support workers. There's a lot of peer support people who help people. Someone who knows what you're going through. Mm. You don't have to explain it and feel like that you're an idiot because you sort of explain your life away.
Yeah.
That's very powerful. I'm really, it's wonderful to hear that because that's the powerfulness of having someone who you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a friend who's been through what I've been through. And we can talk, and I know he knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear that. Now, is that going to be available in Waiheke?
It's going to be available in Waiheke. We've got a launch. Just to add as well, the other thing that we do is we bring in volunteers that offer childcare and housework for someone who doesn't have family support.
And that's vital because a lot of people have a mother around and aunties or someone, and that can be a big help. But if you've got literally nobody and suddenly you're a solo mum, which you never expected to be, and all of a sudden you've got all this on your plate. Oh, that's wonderful.
And they don't have to be a single mum.
No.
It can be anybody who doesn't have that support because if your husband's working or whatever the case may be. So we'll offer that because, you know, that means that mother can go and have counselling or that mother can go and have a sleep. And sleep is crucial.
I remember babysitting a baby once so the mother could go and have her hair done.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't even able to do that.
Yeah.
She came back and she felt really great. That actually was at work.
Yeah.
The boss is sitting at the computer nursing the baby.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in those first few weeks, you're doing well if you get a shower.
Yeah.
So it's really, really tough, you know, in those first few weeks. But, you know, for someone with postnatal depression, they need that break. They need to have that regular
And
break.
How do they get in touch with you?
So the best way to get in touch with us is through the website, mothershelpers.co.nz. But I really want to just mention our launch. We have a launch event that's coming up on Friday the 13th of September. It's at 7 o'clock. Doors are opening at 7 o'clock. We've got free food, free nibbles, free wine, and free entertainment. We've got some Jamie Stone playing for us. And it's going to be, it's an Onitangi Hall. And we've got chandeliers being donated to us. And it will just, we're going to decorate the hall and have it really lovely. So it'll be a really nice event.
And what time's that?
It's at 7 o'clock on Friday the 13th, Onitangi Hall.
Right.
We need RSVPs, so if you can please RSVP to me, which is 372-9840 or info@mothershelpers.co.nz. And we really, I mean, apart from anyone who's interested, you know, health professionals, anyone who might refer a mother to our service, we're also looking for volunteers who might want to work with us as a peer support worker or in what we call an in-home volunteer doing childcare and housework. So,
And there's no charge for this?
No charge.
No charge?
Nope.
So entertainment and some food?
Yeah.
Meeting with people?
Yeah.
Being able to help? All sorts
opportunity to help, or just to find out.
Yeah,
what
just
we're doing.
Find out what's happening. That's wonderful.
We'd love it if everyone would support us with this launch, just to get around us and support us with that.
Well, I've got
along.
The out of the blue Facebook page, so I'll put all that on there. That'll be great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. Just one thing, I was going to ask you: how are you finding Island life?
Island Life, presenting on Island Life, it surprised me actually because one of the things I like to do on Island Life is talk about cool stuff that's going around the island, so really positive things that people are doing, amazing things that people are doing, and I like to draw attention to social issues because those are the things that I'm, and you know, yes, I throw in a bit of political stuff now and then, But it surprised me, I have to say, because I really, really enjoy it. I really enjoy meeting people and talking to people. And there are just, especially the people that I'm talking to, that I choose to talk to, I think they're just such amazing people, and it's a joy to talk to them.
It's a lot of fun being on radio.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there could be as many as they like 5 set days in a month. I'm quite happy to do it. Well, thank you very much for coming in. I'll put this on the Facebook page for Out of the Blue. This needs to be really advertised. It's a wonderful service. I've always felt very sorry. I've worked with some people, because I've worked in peer support for mental health, and I've worked with some women who have suffered from postnatal depression, and their stories, it's really sad. But if you can get that support and someone you can talk to, someone you can lean on, someone will just let you get out and do something, go and meet a friend you haven't been able to see, I'm sure would make an enormous difference.
Thank you so much,
David. Well, thank you.